regulate. Aloha, mud babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your dicky leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew, reporting in after too many weeks of not doing a podcast. Yes, much, much too many. So thanks for coming back and downloading and listening to this one. It's got to be a good one today. It's always a good one, isn't it? I hope so. Am I sucking up? It's Phil Lizetta. Phil is the head guy for iHeartRadio's Comedy 24/7, or 24/7 Comedy. Let's get this right. 24/7 Comedy. And Phil is the man. So I've got him on the show here, and we talk about a little bit of everything. This show goes from discussion of stand-up comedy, who's good, who's bad, who's not, who should be working on the strip in Las Vegas, and who should not. And we talk about Bill Cosby. Of course, everybody's doing that, but we have our own angle point of view. So I hope you enjoy the podcast here today. Here we go. It's Phil Lizetta. Well, here we are. I had to turn that down just a little bit. Turn that down. Okay, there we go.
Al Pacino looks like a train wreck.
Al Pacino is not looking good. No. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the hotel room of the MGM Grand Signature. And I'm sitting here with Phil Lizetta. Phil, how do I describe what you do? Is it, do you run 24/7 Comedy? Are you the GM? Are you iHeartMedia bitch? What's the actual term?
No, I pretty much do everything from scheduling to getting the comedians to submit new stuff to, you know, getting people to try to bring their podcasts like I'm trying to do for you.
Right, right.
Going out to the comedy clubs, actually doing DJ stuff. I pretty much do it all. I'm a one-man wrecking crew because there's only one of me. That's it. 24/7 Comedy is one person.
That is it. You are it.
I am it.
Well, I'm glad you finally sat down here with me. You're looking at every magazine that I have in the hotel room.
I love this. This is for someone who actually can read. This is like it's a crack. It's like literary crack. There's pictures. There's magazines. Steve, there's a magazine for everything in this hotel room.
I love the way you described the magazines. That is the What'd you say now about the bathroom? I'll let you describe it.
No, if you have to use the bathroom and you're a guy, Las Vegas and the bathroom and the magazine, it's like Xanadu for bowel movement.
You're so right. Oh, you are so right.
Because you think about it. First of all, every bathroom in Vegas that I've been in is beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Some of them have TVs.
Yes.
Which is a game changer.
Right.
Because then you don't need magazines.
Right.
But suppose there's nothing on TV.
Mm-hmm.
About 100 magazines.
Oh, and they're all about clubs and the beautiful people in the clubs.
And great pictures. Because, you know, anytime you're in the bathroom,
A
good book or any type of good material has a lot of pictures.
Right.
Because you don't like to do heavy reading.
I don't like words.
No.
I like pictures.
I like to look at stuff.
Well, I like the fact here at this hotel, they do have a TV and a phone.
In the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
I never got the phone thing. Because does anyone use that phone?
The only way you'd be is to, hey, guess what I'm doing? You know, that's all I can think. Or it would be for...
Like, hey, Doc, something's going on,
yeah.
And it doesn't look good.
There's blood in my toilet.
Come and check. Well, blood's all right, because you know if it's a fresh blood, if it's a bright red, then you're okay. If it's the darker kind, then you have to be worried.
Wait, how do you know this?
Anyone who's ever had more than one sip of alcohol in Las Vegas has to know that.
Because I've wondered about that. You know, people always go, well, you know, there's blood in my stool. How do you know?
If it's bright red, you're cool.
Uh-huh.
Dark red, bad thing.
Dark red is bad.
Dark red is bad. If it's blackish, like that.
Well,
TV
like your poop,
show,
it's black. Right, your poop is black, so do you have to?
Well, I don't know about that. See, hold on. If your poop is black, then you got another problem.
Well, if you have blood in your stool, how are you supposed to know? Like, is that stool or is that blood? That's what I'm trying to get to. Do you have to stare at it for a second?
So this is a poop cast. Is that what this is?
This has just turned into a poop cast.
That's a horrible topic. Let's change subject.
Let's do change that.
Boys to men, they're all over Las Vegas.
They are. Speaking of the witch, you told me the other day, driving me to the iHeart station,
yes.
We're going to go down transsexual row.
It's Tranny Alley.
Tranny Alley.
Now, there's an area in Vegas. Now, if if people are familiar with this, can they call you? Is there an email address or something that you have set up?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want to know if anyone else knows about this place.
Yeah, it's McGrew@MSN.com.
Okay. In Las Vegas, behind the old Las Vegas Hilton, and before you get to, I believe it's Maryland Parkway, there's a stretch, a paradise by the convention center, where there, I mean, it's like Eddie Murphy Lane. They are all over. And I'm talking about, it's like the Olympics of trannies. These aren't just normal trannies. These are all athletic, like Buffalo Bills running back level trannies.
Put the Cavs, lotion on.
Right, exactly. Scary trannies, very good shape. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that. But I've never seen a tranny before until I came to Vegas. And it's that one area.
Okay, wait. You know you just defended tranny.
I don't want to knock anything. In case, you know, because some people like trannies.
Not that there's anything wrong with
not
that.
Because, hey.
Because that's where we are in this country now. You have to say something that go, not that there's anything wrong with
which
that.
Which I hate, by the way. You know, I just had to throw that in because that was a Seinfeld reference.
Right. Obviously. No, I understand. But you did tell me that. You find it amazing that that is an area like that because who comes to town?
That's by the convention center. You know, you have like the CES,
yeah,
all those big consumer electronics show. Cowboy Christmas was just there.
Right.
So you have a bunch of cowboys with big cowboy hats. I could just see the dialogue late at night after, I don't know, a pony keg, a Mick Light.
Uh-huh.
You know, the conversation. Hey, you look pretty.
like to saddle up to you, little missy.
What's that on your neck? Is that an Adam's apple?
Wait, does your coochie have a saddle horn?
Just tie it back. Flip it back. It'll be all right. Slide it to the side. Yeehaw!
Yeah, but when you were pointing them out to me, you go, who comes to town? What guy comes from out of town to a convention and goes, I feel like titties and penis?
Well, that's the thing. Like, vacation, and I never understood this, and it's weird, maybe because now I live in Las Vegas. I'm from New York originally, so I never really had to be exposed to this, but it seems like when people go on vacation, New York is a travel spot, but
right.
Vegas, I mean, if you live anywhere near Las Vegas Boulevard, you know what I'm talking about. People lose their minds when they come to Las Vegas. They do things here that they wouldn't do anywhere else in the world. And that's why I'm saying the convention center, it's really weird because these guys, you see them too, and they're straight-laced guys, you know, the pocket protectors, the glasses.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't left Kansas in 30 years.
Yeah,
they
the computer games.
Here, and all of a sudden, they want to go to swinger parties and have sex with transsexuals. And it's like, what happens? Do they? What are they pumping the oxygen at the airport that gets these guys to lose their minds?
You know what? I think I want titties in a dick.
I don't know where it comes
from. Maybe these little gamer freaks just want something with a joystick.
Oh, Steve. I don't know, but do you notice that?
Oh, Steve.
I'm trying to just graze over that, gloss over that. But honestly, what happens to people on vacation? They just, like, lose everything. They lose the altar boys come. Well, that's another story.
Yeah, that's a different story.
That. Maybe that explains the transsexuals. But I just don't get it. Vegas, you see it every night. People drink more here than they drink anywhere else on vacation. It's just an oddity.
Yeah, and the way they push the alcohol here.
Well, I mean, it's free.
Well, I'm talking about the bigger drinks. The giant yards of thing, or 2 yards of things, and
the cowboy boot of tequila.
The cowboy boot of tequila. It's like, what person in their right mind doesn't look at that and go, "No, I mean, just seriously, no." One of those will fuck me up.
In the wintertime, it's not that bad, but in the summer, when you see people with the Eiffel Tower full of, like, I don't know what it is, daiquiri, and then the tequila,
100 ounces of daiquiri.
What are they? It's 115 degrees outside. They go about 3 steps, and there's the paramedics. It's like, what is wrong? The common sense goes out the window.
I'm wondering how many tons of vomit get cleaned up in this city every year.
I don't. Well, how much gets cleaned up? How much gets reserved at the Riviera Buffet?
Because the reason I even say this, last night, as I'm coming back from being out, I'm about to get on the elevator door, and the elevator door opens, and it's one of the cleaning people. And she goes, "No, no."
Just a pool of vomit.
The whole thing was covered, like the floor of
That's
the elevator.
Disgusting.
And she goes, "No, no." And put a lock on the door. And I was like, when I saw that, I thought, you know, how often, poor lady, how often.
What do you think the worst thing she's ever seen has been, though? I mean, because you just saw that in the open. Can you imagine what's happened in some of these rooms?
Oh.
I mean, come on. We've heard some stories about Sam Kinison, what he's done in hotel rooms.
Right.
I mean, can you just imagine what these people have seen? Like, the Hangover movies, I'm sure a lot of that stuff...
Semi-true. Oh, well, yeah. You've heard about the dead hookers in the bed frame, stuff like that, right?
Well, I don't know what stories you've been listening to.
You've never heard about this?
In the bed frame?
Yeah. Because we did it, when I was on the radio, we did a thing about what's the weirdest thing you've ever found in a hotel room.
Right.
Because a hotel room that I went to in... when I was doing stand-up, wasn't Vegas, but I think it was Omaha, I think. I can't remember. But there was a bloody towel behind the door in the bathroom. I don't mean a little bit of blood, like you cut yourself shaving. It was a bloody towel. And I was like, I called down, like, obviously my room has not been cleaned or this bitch would have found a bloody towel.
Right.
And So we were talking on the air. One lady that had been a maid for a hotel had found part of a fingertip, a blackened fingertip, behind the headboard.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, so apparently... ah! You know, that kind of...
And what, you just leave it there?
I guess. Oh. I don't know, you know, but...
Never date an anemic woman. No.
Ever.
That's
ever.
Horrible.
And then one lady called in and said when she had been a hotel maid that she had heard rumors about the finding a dead hooker in the hotel springs.
You mean a whole hooker?
Like a whole, like, yeah.
Not a part of
no,
the whole thing?
Like the people kept complaining about the smell in the room, and they'd look and they couldn't find that it's clean and they didn't find anything. And finally, because a lot of these bed frames are they used to be like hollow boxes.
Right. Like a platform, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like a platform. Right. You know what I'm talking about, yeah. And eventually they found a...
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine people that had spent the night or...
Oh, no, Steve. This wasn't in Jersey, right? No. Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's back east.
I think I was in that room.
That's back east somewhere.
Either that or really bad hooker.
You know, they put up no smoking. They need to put no corpses, apparently.
Can you imagine how many hookers got blamed for being stanky on that scene?
Yes.
Oh, that's a horrible... See why I gotta go there?
Why you gotta do that?
Because of the joystick, right?
I know.
You bring it to the lowest common denominator, and I think it's okay to go there.
Boy, you've been here in Vegas now how long?
Officially, probably about going on 3 years. Officially, full time. 3 years.
In those 3 years, what's been the strangest thing you've seen in Vegas on the strip?
A guy get paid $12 million to talk to an audience or be called a comedian.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about Terry Fader. Or $20 million. That's the weirdest thing I've seen.
Oh.
A guy who passes himself off. And I'm sorry if Terry Fader's listening, but his wife probably wouldn't let him listen to this anyway. But that's the oddest thing I've ever seen. I've seen so many talent. And again, you know, being from New York, I'm used to going to comedy clubs and seeing guys just literally just pour their heart out on stage. I remember seeing Louis C.K. work when nobody else thought he was funny. He couldn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
You see guys
was a hardworking comic.
Been doing it for 20 years. Dane Cook was working his butt off. Larry the Cable Guy when he was Dan Whitney doing such, just working his butt off. Greg Giraldo, God rest
another
his soul.
Another one. Who I think that's what got him. I think that's why Greg might have finally taken his own life.
One of the most brilliant people in the world. And then you got to see a guy. And, you know, hey, more power to him. But I think that's one of the most frustrating things, to see a guy who calls himself a comedian.
Yeah.
And it's one of the weirdest things, because I know if Vegas and this town would embrace comedy the way New York has,
mm-hmm.
and we can get at least a comedy club in every casino, make it an atmosphere where comedy can thrive and guys can play three or four different clubs,
yeah.
they would need to pay a guy $20 million to stick his hand up a puppet's ass and you know, and try to pass it off as comedy and humor. And, I mean, the guy doesn't even write his own stuff.
Well, that part is true.
That's what bothers me.
So you've seen the show then? Have you?
I walked out of the
show.
Okay,
that's what I wanted.
I walked out of the show because I was so sickened by it, because it was a sold-out show, and these people, I'm sickened by people going to see shows like this and be satisfied with such... I don't know, Steve. I grew up in a different era.
Yeah, me too.
I grew up with guys like you, guys like John Mulrooney, guys like Rich Hall,
right.
guys like Sam Kinison. You know, I would say guys like Lenny Bruce, but I could say Bill Hicks.
And they'll know that.
Yeah. I mean, like Sam Kinison, those guys went out, they did shows, they left their heart and soul on stage. They deserved every penny they made. That's what I want to see Vegas turn back into. I want to see it turn back into, you know, a comedy haven.
Right. I would like to see Vegas come back with a little bit of comic residency.
Right.
Not so much like him, but how it used to be like Don Rickles is at the Sahara for 6 weeks.
Yes.
Not long term, not 5-year contract. because it'd be good for us just to be able to come to town, you know, do these
how
shows.
How great would it be a guy like Bill Burr has a residency at a place like the Hard Rock,
yeah,
or a place like Bellagio or the Wynn,
right?
You know, and you put him in a place where people will come and they'll put him in an atmosphere where he could be Bill Burr,
right?
Where they could start building these superstars like Richard Pryor. I remember Live at the Sunset Strip when that came out. That was the biggest thing.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I want. I want rock star comedy. I want that back. I want America to get excited about comedy again.
Did you hear the thing about that? I call this my squirrel moment. The squirrel that Richard Pryor's thing about the Live on the Sunset Strip, mm-hmm. the two night, you know, he recorded it two nights.
Right.
The first night, he sucked so bad and was so nervous, he quit in the middle of it.
No, I didn't.
You didn't hear about that?
No.
Yeah. I just heard that just recently, that it was, they were going to film
two nights.
I heard
it was two nights, he wore the same exact thing.
Same exact suit, they were going to, and that was the story, that it was packed with celebrities, and he wasn't feeling it because it was new material.
It's
and it was
so weird that you say that, because I'll never forget, and here's where I name drop. I was interviewing Paul Rodriguez, and I asked him about the worst time he's ever bombed, and you know, because I always love to hear these guys talk about bombing, and I think I asked you probably the question a while ago. And he said, you know what? I got a better one than me bombing. He's like, because I bomb all the time. He's like, I saw Richard Pryor bomb. I can't accept that.
No.
And when you said it, I'm like, there's no way that he could bomb. Because even on the worst night, I would think it's still hilarious.
Yeah, you'd be like, that's Richard Pryor. I don't care.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I went to see Cosby, and that's another guy. I can't believe what's going on with him. And I don't know if you believe everything that's going on, but I just find things hard to believe 40 years after the fact that all this comes out. But that's just me. But a guy like Cosby I went to see for the first time ever, I was amazed at just how brilliant, how effortless he was, how funny he was. I mean, these are guys, like, you talk about comedy gods.
Right.
Like, he's in that category. You talk about Pryor, Carlin, you know, Greg Giraldo. These guys were comedy gods. Because I think if Giraldo would have stayed around a little longer, people would have known who he was, and I think he would have gotten that success that he deserved.
Yeah, because Comedy Central was picking up on him and using him for everything.
And Comedy Central, it takes them 10 years to pick up on anything. So,
right.
You know, I'm kidding. Yeah. I love Comedy Central. I think they have a great product. I would love to work for them one day, and I'd love them to give us some material, possibly one day, so I could play it.
They should be doing that anyway, because they put out Comedy Central records. Should they be giving those to you to play on the radio?
Well, that's what I don't understand. You know, there's other places that do comedy that you have to pay. It's a subscription thing, and I worked for one of those companies, and I just think what I'm doing now is probably the most fun and the most gratifying, because no matter where you are, you could hear stand-up comedy for free.
Yeah.
I mean, and you don't have to be a fan of comedy, because it moves so quick, and that's one of the things I'm trying to do, to keep it moving quickly so people can hear a Richard Pryor, a Kevin Hart, you know, a George Carlin, a Steve McGrew, a Bob Zaney, all within like play that many within 10 minutes, but all within like a 10 or 15 minute period.
You have much too much Kevin Hart. You have much
I've been told we don't have nearly enough Kevin Hart. I don't think we could have enough of anybody, and that's the whole thing. Comedy Central, all these places, they should be sending it to me, because we have one of the largest listening audiences out there, and people are starting to hear comedy on the radio, and it's really starting to get popular.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a station in Denver that does nothing but 24-hour comedy now.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Comedy 103.
Right. Yeah. And they used to be affiliated with us, but, you know, some things happened, which I
can't get
discuss.
Into.
But that's what I want. I want every single state, every single city to at least have a way to turn on the radio, and instead of hearing news, instead of hearing about the crap that's going on in Missouri or the crap that's going on in New York or all this awful stuff, they could laugh.
Right.
You know, because we could bring so many more people together by laughing than talking about, oh, we could have done it this way, we could have done it that way. Whatever happened, happened. It's in the past. We need to learn from it. We don't need to burn down buildings. We don't need to loot and riot. We need to get together, because I'm telling you, in Vegas, I saw a black guy with a white girl 10 feet from a white girl with a black guy. I mean, we're together.
The world comes together in Vegas.
It comes together. I mean, within 10 years...
I saw a straight guy with a guy with a penis and boobs.
But I mean, come on. If you think about it, Steve, one-on-one, we've gotten so much better as a country. And people, one-on-one, if we deal with each other, everyone gets along.
Right.
Everyone can.
I agree.
The potential, everyone can get along if we treat each other with respect. And the thing that's going on all over the country right now, it's people just getting sick and tired of people not treating each other with respect.
Right.
That's all we need to do.
Well, don't you think, though, it's kind of it's, and I hate to, I even hate to even use the term reverse racism, but
yeah, I think everything sure it exists
because you and I know you and I would not be like that. Most of my friends I know are not like right. that. I just see it as being
people love to get on their soapbox. If there wasn't problems that were going on right now, riots, Al Sharpton wouldn't be needed.
Right.
You know, guys like that who live off the teat of society. I mean, it's like welfare. It's like I work so somebody else can collect something. You know, it's like we all work so Al Sharpton could go out there and create fires everywhere. The guy's a moron. He's been a moron for 30 years. People in the community should just say, "Hey, Al, you know what? Go away. We don't need you anymore. You've
turned into a California raisin, Al. Now go away."
Well, no, but it's just we evolve as people. Maybe 20 years ago, someone like Al Sharpton was needed. 30 years ago, but you know what? We've evolved past that point.
But guys, he stirs it up so
bad. That's what he,
so
all
bad.
He does.
And then you even have like real friends that'll get mad when I'll say, you know, that Ferguson thing was not, you know, that's out of control. You don't know what it's like to grow up as a black man.
That's what causes the divide. Because there's guys like Al Sharpton.
You're right. I don't know. But I don't think that's the right way to do it.
You don't know what it's like to grow up with long hair, you know? You know?
You don't know what it's like to be called, "Hey, fag," because you look like this, you know? Everybody gets picked on.
Everybody.
Everybody gets treated bad. You know, I remember one time I was at a Denny's. We were horrible service. Horrible. And waited to get seated. And then I remember reading an article soon after that about how Denny's was in trouble for bad service for blacks. They were doing I'm like, I want to raise my hand and go, "I'm not." And I just got the worst service
of my
Denny's
life.
How
about Denny's just has bad service?
How about that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's what really bothers me. Because if you look around and, you know, I hate to watch the news. But when you do, look around anywhere else in the world. Would you rather be anywhere else in the world with all the stuff that's going on? This is the best country in the world. I would not want to be a citizen of any other country. I love it here. I love you whether you're black, white, yellow, purple. You're an American.
Everything is beautiful.
You're an American. I was in New York for 9/11, you know, and I saw that happen. And when you see that happen, you gotta keep that stuff in your mind and remember how close we all came.
We did. We all came together.
We all came together. And I think we got to keep that every day. And when we see stuff like that in Ferguson, we need a leader. I'm sorry, Obama's not the guy. And I'll say it, not because he's black, because he's a bad president. He's a bad leader. He should not have said what he said after that happened.
Not have.
He should have instilled in us that feeling after 9/11.
This is wrong.
You
we're all
what?
One.
We are
all together.
Together.
Let's work
together. When we get attacked, we're all getting attacked together. Something like this happened. Other people around the world are looking at it going, "Look at this. Look at this. This is exactly what we want."
Right.
That's exactly what they want.
And Dad, did you see that Russia was calling us out for human rights violations? Like
Come
Russia
on.
Is calling America
Come on.
Out?
That's what I'm saying. Let's stop being stupid. Let's stop letting the Al Sharptons of the world have a voice. Let's cut those guys out at the knees and just start really moving forward. And I'll tell you what, another thing.
Okay.
No, but that's
Phil,
what
Phil, while you're running for president.
No, but that's what gets me mad about Obama. I mean, I remember, and I think this is why a lot of people don't like him, because he's trying to please everyone. And I think you have to have an opinion. We all grew up and we were told, "Look, you're not going to please everyone."
Always.
Our mothers always told us that. He's got to live by that and say, "You know what? I'm going to upset some people, but what happened in Ferguson was wrong. Okay? We should not behave like this. It's animalistic. It's stupid." That's what he should have said. Not pull a page out of Al Sharpton's book, try to incite a riot. Bring us together.
And bringing Al Sharpton to the White House to be your is now sort of his advisor. Have
Where's
you
Bill
seen?
Clinton?
Where's
Bill Clinton?
Where's Bill Cosby? That's what
wow. No, but I mean, like, Bill Clinton, and I hate to say it, but the guy, when he was president, I felt like we were a really tight country. I did. I don't know why. It just felt, maybe it was a saxophone, maybe because Arsenio Hall had his
had
own
him on TV.
Show,
yeah. Right? Arsenio had him on TV playing saxophone.
But I don't know. It was a different time, and I just don't like the way things are going now. I think America's just getting stupider. We're allowing ourselves to just be, you know, the news can spoon feed us whatever they want us to believe, and we believe in it.
Right.
Steve.
Well, I'm really bugged by the whole protest around the country now for Ferguson, because they had nothing to do with it.
Right.
They don't know. They're not connected to him. They're not even related. But now they're going to do these protests all over. Why don't the cops just say no? You know, when you break into Macy's to protest.
Well, I think the whole thing.
And I know America has the right to protest. That's
sure,
not
no,
it.
No, that's fine. And I kind of agree with what you're saying, but I'm just confused about the whole thing. Like, the issue about the kid robbing a store never came out. I never heard that on the news. I never heard Al Sharpton mention that the kid stole something before this happened.
Or that he had 31 previous whatever arrests.
What about the police officers who were actually... I mean, I hate to defend police, but they really protect us. I mean,
I
that's their job.
Yeah.
They're trying to protect the store owner who he robbed. I mean, does anyone understand? What about the guy who was robbed? Was he afraid?
Oh yeah!
When someone came walking into his store and stole,
did you see the video of the of him like getting up and picking him up and getting in his face?
That's why I'm saying,
getting in his face.
Why? Why don't we talk about that? Why didn't Al Sharpton bring that up?
That's what I think the problem is. They didn't pick the right person to be the
exactly
to be the role model to hold up. This was the wrong case.
Kid who got choked in New York, I could see a little bit more than what happened in Ferguson.
Yeah, but even on that one. The minority store owner is the one that called the police because he was out front selling loose cigarettes affecting the guy's business. So it wasn't like the police showed up to hassle him.
Right.
They were called.
Well, the way that went down when you watched the film.
It was bad. But it was also a black female officer who was in charge of the group
standing right there, took
him down. So it's all like – it's all confusing.
That's what I'm saying. And police, even the police officer, not saying he was right or wrong, but that's how he said he was trained. So, I mean, these guys are doing the toughest job. I mean, policemen and firemen have the two toughest jobs
and
other
you don't
than
want
being
pussy,
in the military.
And you don't want them to be pussies.
No.
You want them guys that actually, like, be badass enough to walk into a hard place. And
you know what, Steve? 300, 400 million Americans, we're talking about one incident.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. So 300, 400 million people, we're talking about one incident. No, I'm just saying, we got to put it into perspective.
Now you got everybody putting their cell phone clips up. Everybody's putting like, oh, did you see hit it with the baton? That's bullshit.
Right.
Well, show the rest of the clip. You're only showing that. What happened before the clip? What happened? Did he say, get on the ground? Get on the ground, get on the ground.
And again, I'm not saying anyone's right or wrong. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, we got to think before we start blowing stuff up, setting stuff on fire. Just like the Bill Cosby thing. He has not been, I mean, a lot of people can accuse, but he hasn't
been.
Did
you interview, have you ever interviewed Bill Cosby?
Yes.
Did you wake up with your pants around your ankles?
No, it was on the phone, too. It would have been very talented if he was able to do that. I mean, Barry White, on the other hand, yes. No, but Bill Cosby, the thing that bothers me about Bill Cosby, everyone's bringing this stuff up. No one has any proof. No one has any evidence. There's no arrest records.
And it's past...
40 years ago.
Yeah, it's past the...
statute of limitations.
Right, right.
So, and I mean, and honestly, the one thing, now that Gloria Allred is involved... I mean, now it makes me believe Cosby even more because that lady, it's again like an Al Sharpton.
She's
type.
Like a tapeworm, just attaches herself
God,
to whatever can feed off of.
Shouldn't she be dead by now?
Shouldn't she?
Shouldn't Al Sharpton have died by now?
Yeah.
I mean, please.
She's one of those people that just gets uglier and uglier. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I guess there's no other way to mean it.
Well, you've got to be careful what you say. She could probably
sue you
for it.
I know. But when you look at her, because she's been around for years, she becomes like...
she looks like Skeletor with a wig.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. It's kind of like you can watch it, the process age right in front of you, but she still has the same dress and hair. It's like you're watching a time-lapse... shrinkage of her.
It's like Al Sharpton. Like someone looks like they have their lips on his butt, and they're just sucking out all the air little by little. Because his neck, he looks like the character Larry Bud Melman used to do when he used to come out on the Letterman show as the big giant guy with the stuffed suit.
Yeah,
I mean, just horrible.
Well, that's why I always say he called him the California Raisin now, because Al Sharpton used to look like the big guy.
And the wig, the Frederick Douglass.
Remember that
looking,
the whole look to him, and now you look at him now, and he's all like. Heard it through the grapevine.
He is the Antichrist.
So you're not thinking
about my future after this interview?
Yeah,
no, not at all.
Now Cosby's deal.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me the other day as a comic what I thought about it, and I go, I'm trying not to. You know, and they said, are you doing any jokes about it? And I was like, well, I'm trying not to because I don't want to fan the flames. But as a comic, of course, you're going to think of these things.
Right.
And,
but you're not going to go out there like Hannibal Buress and
call him a rapist on the stage and stuff like that. But at the same time, as soon as he opened the gate, this guy interviewed, opened the gate, all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, well, you know, if he put his pudding pop where it wasn't supposed to. Yeah, and he goes, the other guy was interviewing, goes, I thought you were avoiding this. I go, well,
come on.
You know, they're in there. The jokes are in there, but I just don't want to be the one up there flaming the
fan of the flame.
Yeah.
I think you should be able to joke. I mean, I see, that's the thing about comedy, and that's why I don't understand why people got in such an uproar over Chris Rock on Saturday Night Live. It's Chris Rock.
He's talking about
9/11. He's talking about the trades. He's talking about stuff that will make you blush.
Yeah.
That's what comedy's about. It's getting a reaction. If he goes up there and is like, wow, what a beautiful day today. Did you love that weather? Wasn't it beautiful the way the sun was shining? What's funny about that?
What's up with joggers?
You know, if you came out there with the puppet and started talking, it's not funny. That's not comedy. You want a guy to go out there and...
You really hate Terry Fader, don't you?
No, I just don't like guys with puppets who call themselves comedians, Jeff Dunham. I mean, it's just more than Terry Fader.
On a stick.
I mean, come on. That's so hacky.
It's a pudding pop on a stick.
It's just... Look, people in life should be comedians.
Uh-huh.
People in life should be insurance salesmen. People in life should get bullied.
You have to.
Right.
Right.
Some people shouldn't be on stage with a Muppet and, you know, collecting $20 million a year, divorcing a wife that they were in love. I'm not naming any names, but, you know, they divorce their wife once they get famous, marry some exotic-looking woman 3 feet taller than them, and then she tells them, hey, you're...
I will run your $100 million empire.
What am I talking about? Steve, I'm tired of people having to laugh just because someone calls himself a comedian. You're not a comedian unless you're funny. Unless people pay to see you, you're not funny. You're not if you make a DJ who thinks he's a comedian, who's in a room and makes himself laugh,
yeah,
not a comedian. The zoo radio guys, that's not comedy. Let's stop laughing. Let's stop encouraging these people. Let's stop watching the Kardashians. Let's stop of this stuff.
Please.
Okay? Let's stop. Let's get our country back. Let's wait. Let's put this president back on a boat, send him to Hawaii,
or back to wherever
he came from. No, but you know what I mean? Let's get the country back, Steve. Let's remasculate this country. Take it back. No, I'm tired of it, though. Like, I mean, how many times have you gone to a comedy club and said, boy, that person shouldn't be on stage?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Several times.
Why are they? Because everyone gets a trophy now.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Okay? It's a, you did great. You showed up.
Everyone gets
swung at the ball. You struck out, but you tried. Here's your ribbon.
It's a tie. Everybody gets a prize. No! There's going to be a loser. There's going to be a kid that sucks that you stick in right field. That's the way it is. Kids are going to strike out. Three strikes, you're out. No fourth strike. No third foul tip.
No, you're out. That hurts their self-esteem.
That's another... You don't have kids, right? You don't have kids.
No, I do. I have a son.
You don't teach him that stuff. You tell him, look, you lost. You suck at baseball. Go play football.
I almost got kicked out of my son. I've told this on here before, but I almost got kicked out of my son's little league baseball game when I was he was much younger, because I was sitting next to a woman that kept telling her son he was great when he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
Like, he would come up to and he'd strike out, and she'd go, it's not your fault, he's a horrible pitcher. You know, it's like, that's not your fault.
You learn so much more by making an error. You learn so much more by everyone in the crowd looking at you, and you drop the ball, and then you got to go back to the dugout and learn.
Yeah.
That's part
dragging,
of life.
Dragging your glove.
Yes,
like,
but you know what? The next time you're up at bat, you can make up for it.
Right.
That's what makes kids motivated. That's what makes kids better. That's what makes Mickey Mantle. That's what makes Roger Maris. That's what makes baseball.
That's what makes people better, just better in general at all. Because I don't think we have – I'm speaking at a very broad brush term, but I don't think we have the drive and genius that we used to for a generation that was building things and creating things and the industrialization of this country.
I love our military more than anyone. We had a situation a couple days ago. We muffed up another attempt at saving hostages. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did.
How many times?
I don't know the whole story.
In the last 6 months, this has happened more than 3 or 4 times. More than 5 or 6 times. The last 6 months.
Yeah.
Our military never used to be like that. I remember when I was in college, I remember when I was in high school, there was a general by the name of Norman Schwarzkopf. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember what that was like?
Yeah,
you think
he was
those
the
guys,
man.
You think those guys would have failed anything? You think those guys... I mean, I'm not saying... Look, what our military does is incredible, but I think it's also a trickle-down effect. Yeah. When you're led by a guy that you don't respect...
Right. Yeah, no.
When you're led by a guy like Norman Schwarzkopf, a guy like that... I mean, come on.
When your name's Schwarzkopf, you got to be good.
Well, I went to college with his daughter. Okay, so I was right there near MacDill when all that stuff went down. So I knew when Desert Storm happened, I was there in the thick of it. So I'm like overflowing with this American pride. Okay, yeah, so you know, yeah. I remember this country when it was the best, and I still think it's the best, but I think we believed it was the best back then. We don't believe we're the best
no,
now.
No, we've been told over and over now, that's why they hate us. You know, that's why they, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's why they hate us, because we think we're good. Well, that's why we hate us, because we think we're the police of the world. But that's why they loved us before, because we were big and bad and bold.
Do you ever go on stage thinking you're the second best comedian in the room?
No. You have to go on stage thinking, I'm the best, and that's why I've got to follow this guy. Yeah.
But that's
A friend of mine, and I will say his name on here because he listens to the podcast, Kenny Mace. Kenny Mace. Hi, Kenny. Kenny just posted on Facebook the other day about getting in trouble for being mean to a Marine. Kenny works for the government.
Right.
And he goes, a Marine got mad, turned him in because he was mean to a Marine. And he goes, I didn't know this was possible. And I said, I thought the military used to have to break you down to build you back up to a soldier. And Kenny told me, he goes, you know, now they actually have cards. They have cards that you get so many times that you're mean on these cards, and then you have to, the drill sergeant gets in trouble.
You're kidding me.
No.
Really?
No. So now you cannot be the kind of drill sergeant it used to be, where you'd be going, you pussy, you little faggot, get up, and you know, that kind of...
Let me tell you, I took military science in college, because we had to back then. I got hazed in class. I mean, that's the way the military was. We were a badass country. Our military, I still think we're badass. And it's just, it's different. We've gotten a little soft.
Yeah.
And I think we need to harden up again.
Yeah.
We really do.
Well, along the same lines of what you're talking, I was sitting with my parents one night. We were watching TV, and this woman was on TV complaining about the soldiers in the Gulf being over there too long. Like, her husband was over there too long. And even my mom goes, oh, my God. And my dad goes, we'd have never won the war with these people, because he was in World War II.
Sure.
And then we got to talking about it, and my mom goes, you know, I waited 4 years for your father to come home. And they can't wait 18. These women are complaining after 18 months, and the soldiers are complaining about how long they're
And now they
deployed.
Have video phones. And then they have, you know, they, stuff.
Yeah. Right. These guys were writing letters home. They've guys got computer stations. They can go back. They're still getting to interact. These guys went over to Europe and went, I hope I see you again one day. I'll wait for you. You know, there was a different attitude.
Yeah. No, it was... Let me tell you, that's why they called some of the generations before ours the greatest generations. Because we wouldn't have... Honestly, Iraq, ISIS, all this stuff that would have happened, you would have taken that same World War II generation and dealt with it, we wouldn't have been... Come on, they'd be speaking English over there right now. I mean, there'd be Burger Kings in Baghdad. We'd probably have a Chick-fil-A in Baghdad. I mean, knowing my grandfather and great-grandfather and the way they were.
Right.
It was different, Steve. I mean, I'm one of those people, though, and people think I'm... And I think I'm getting old. But I even say it about the comedy. The comedy's different now. And I always mention the same names. I mean, you look around, like Bill Burr, Dave Attell. There's like a handful of guys, and I put you in that class.
Oh, gracias.
Who go out and they go out and you work. I mean, you're a comedian. You go out and you work. You're not trying to make a movie. You're not trying to get a sitcom. You know, you work at what you do best, and that's comedy.
Yeah. Well, I started, when I started, I wanted to be a comic.
Right.
That's what I wanted to be. It was because I grew up watching comics on TV, and I thought, that is the coolest job. And then you'd see about, you know, such and such was opening here in Vegas for a big show, and you go, that's what I want to do. I want to be a second, they called them the second bananas at that time. I want to be that guy. So that was my goal. So I always studied comedy. You know, I was like, this guy does that. That's an old joke. That's a Shecky Green joke. Right. That is a
there you go.
You know, that's you knew comedy. And I don't think younger people today know the history of the art form of comedy.
No, and it's funny because even the younger comedians, I look at it, I always look at everything like sports because I grew up playing sports. And I know that I could have named any Yankee from the 1980s or any Giant from the 80s. And I look at comedy the same way. In the 80s, I mean, guys like Dennis Wolfberg, Robin Harris are names that you really haven't heard of mainstream. But if you go back and look at Robin Harris, there wouldn't have been Bernie Mac without Robin Harris.
Right.
You look at Babies.
Babies Kids.
Babies Kids is the Bernie Mac show. So, I mean, there's stuff that, you know, it predated a lot of these comedians that you see today. But, like, the acts have always been around. Joan Rivers, that's why, I mean, it's a crime to me that someone like Kathy Griffin can take over for Joan Rivers on the Fashion Police. That's something that, if she was a friend of Joan Rivers, if she was a real, and this is just me speaking, I'm nobody.
Right.
That was your friend?
No, you run comedy 24/7.
As I said, I'm nobody. So, if that was your friend, you say no. Leave it the way it was. That was Joan's show. You want to come up with another show? You want to do something else? Yeah. A spinoff of some type? Fine. Let her rest in peace. Let us pay homage to someone Joan. Who was here. Let it die. Let things die. Don't make Dumb and Dumber 2. You know what I mean? Don't.
Some things are best left alone when you bring up Dumb and Dumber 2.
Caddyshack, the same thing. It's like, why would you make Caddyshack 2? I mean, why would you do that?
Ghostbusters 2.
Again.
Oh, what do you think about that? Ghostbusters 3 now. All female cast.
20 years.
What are you thinking?
First of all, I'm thinking 20 years too late. Second of all, name it something else. Ghost Police. Something. Let Ghostbusters be Ghostbusters. Let it be Bill Murray. Let it be Harold Ramis. Let that memory be a memory.
Yeah.
We don't need to remake movies anymore, Steve. I'm tired. When they remade... when they start remaking my...
Bring it, Phil.
No, when they start remaking Steve McQueen movies with guys who are metrosexual, the movie loses its luster a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
When you start remaking, like, True Grit with one of the Fabulous Baker Boys, it loses its luster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't need to remake these movies. I mean, the only movie that I did like that they remade, I thought Total Recall was okay.
I did not see it, so I can't.
It was okay.
But it was good.
But the first one was just... The first one was Total Recall. This should have been named something else.
Right. Because
it was a totally different movie. I just... I hate when people steal ideas or
what's Hollywood? They don't want to do it. They don't want to take chances. Budgets have gotten so big and so expensive that they don't want to take a chance on an original idea.
And that's why we're in the state we're in right now. That's why we're questioning being the best.
Right.
Because we're afraid to think on our own. We're afraid to just... I mean, honestly, Andy Kaufman, a guy like that today, a comedian like that...
Would he have gotten the chance?
No.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, be different.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of the Hollywood now, they don't want to... They think so tunnel vision of it's cop shows, it's relationship shows.
Well, it's all reality TV now.
Or reality TV. That's what... But if you look at some of the stuff like some of the British TV... They'll take a chance on something. There was a show I remember a while back called, I think it was called Dinner Ladies. Mm-hmm. And it was a bunch of older women that worked in like a Luby's cafeteria. And it was hysterical.
Right.
But I can't imagine somebody going to L.A. and go, I think we should do a thing about a bunch of old women that work in a cafe. Who would watch that?
No, and that's the thing.
It's
like,
not...
You talk about British TV, The Office, the British Office.
Yeah.
So much better than the American version.
Right.
And everyone loved the American version, but Ricky Gervais was brilliant. Did
you
watch the British
show? Yeah.
Amazing show. I think the American version paled in comparison.
Right. And the old British Office ended sooner than the American.
Yeah.
Like, they went, we're done. We did the show.
That's it.
And we'd like for it to be over.
Right.
Where The Office will just run until people go, I don't even watch it anymore. I don't even... And that's the other thing about British TV. They buy stuff that, like, this is a 2-year arc of a story. Boom, we're done.
Well, that's the thing. I think everyone's afraid. Like, Modern Family, I think it's a good show, but should it really win all of those awards? I mean, if The Cosby Show were around today, I hate to go back to Bill Cosby, but if The Cosby Show were around today, come on. We had so many sitcoms in the 80s. I mean, do you remember Bosom Buddies with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
You want to redo something? redo that. Bring back Scalia and Hanks now. Do you realize what the ratings would be? It'd be hilarious. It goes back to trannies. Two trannies
go into
this year's Susan B. Anthony Hotel. I would watch that.
God, you remember everything about it. I would not have remembered the Susan B. Anthony Hotel.
Let me tell you, because back in those days, Ted Knight, Bosom Buddies. Do you remember that show, Monroe?
Yeah.
Jim J. Bullock was his name.
Monroe.
Great TV. You could go back. That stuff holds up today.
Yeah.
Too Close for Comfort. Great show.
The girlfriend and I have been watching, and I even hate to say this, Step by Step.
Step by Step.
It was the one with Suzanne Somers and Patrick Duffy.
I remember they were
two separate families, kind of like the Brady Bunch that came together.
After Dallas and Three's Company, there was Step
by
Step.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we've been watching that at night, and you go, why am I laughing at this? But it's held up.
It's well
it's
written.
Held up.
You know why? Norman Lear. You know what? Those guys knew how to do television. It was scripted. It was thought out. It wasn't like the crap today.
I'm about to break your little fucking heart. You
oh,
ready?
No. Oh, no.
I am. Now that you brought up Norman Lear.
Don't say Learning the Ropes with Lyle Alzado.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Norman Lear is in talks to bring back All in the Family.
See, how are you going to do that
can't
without
do
Carol
today.
O'Connor? How are you going to do that without Carol O'Connor?
But they can't do it in this politically correct world.
No.
They're not going to look at that script. Can you imagine any script that was done back then where he's calling all the names? And
the closest thing we had to an Archie Bunker character was Everybody Loves Raymond with Peter Boyle.
Yeah.
That was the closest.
Yeah.
And that they had to spoon feed us because he got a little crazy.
Right. And he didn't like just groups of people.
Oh, I would love that, though. I mean, that would be interesting the way. But how are you going to do it? Sammy Davis Jr.? You remember back
right,
in the
right.
day?
It was. Jefferson. I think it was perfect because that was the time of the nation.
Right.
That's why that worked great. Go back to when they remade Shaft. The new Shaft did not work because Shaft of the day was politically charged of the time. This new one was just, you know, let's make him a cop and he'll take on bad guys. It didn't have the political undertones of the time.
Until Rudy Ray Moore passed away, I was dying for Dolemite.
Dolemite, come back!
I was waiting for that one to come back. No, but I think TV was so much better. Anything But Love. I mean, Richard Lewis. You had so many great shows. Who's the Boss was well written.
Yeah.
Every show back then.
Full House.
Full House was a great show. I mean, Bob Saget, Dave Coulier, they're still touring today.
I know.
But, I mean, I just think it was better. It was much better because you didn't have some defense attorney's kids, hairy Armenian people running around the valley, marrying all kinds of rappers. I mean, it's disgusting. I don't understand how people could watch that stuff. The mother should be put away. It's disgusting.
She should be. The other day, I came in the house and walked in the room, and my girlfriend, I heard the Kardashian voice.
Oh,
I heard the voice.
And
I turned and I looked at the TV, and I looked at her, and she goes, don't judge me.
Steve, is that not the most annoying voice?
It's the worst. And you can realize that they're trying to act. It's not reality.
It's not reality.
It's, you know, I'm angry at you. Why would you do that to me? Why would you say that?
Cut to commercial. Ryan Seacrest Productions.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. Hey, and Ryan, by the way, I love him. He's part of the iHeartRadio family. But come on. Get them off.
Did you ever see the other show that Ryan Seacrest did for a very short period of time called Pretty Wild?
Pretty Wild.
It was about these three sisters. The mom had been a Playboy centerfold.
Right.
And it was about these three girls, and one of the girls got arrested for breaking into Paris Hilton's house.
Right.
She was part of the Bling Ring, which they made a movie.
Oh, I heard about that. Right.
The Bling Ring. Yeah. And so they stopped making the series. But it's like the people that they pick to give reality shows to, it blows my mind. It's like,
well, who's the guy from Atlanta? The little blonde guy with the daughter and the wife, and he just bought the daughter boobs.
Oh, it's that real estate show or whatever. I have not watched it, but I've seen about it.
But this is another thing my girlfriend watches, and I look at the TV. Like, literally, Steve, I had to buy another TV to put upstairs in another room because I can't hear it. I can't I can't. It ruined. It literally. I get angry. You can see the way I'm getting.
I see your physicality of what you're doing.
When I hear a Kardashian, it does something. I get this feeling on the back of my neck. I gotta shut it. I gotta leave the room. I gotta get out of the house. I have to go smell dog shit. I have to do something different. Because they all look, they have that expression, like they just smell dog shit. All of them. All of them, they all do. And it's disgusting. Chloe. Does anyone think that that's good looking, that break the internet picture, that big, fat, disgusting, oiled up ass?
No.
Is that attractive? I mean, I can understand Kanye West.
Brothers like
it. I can understand Kanye West liking it because look at him. Look at him. Yeah. I mean, come on. I remember the kid with his little backpack. I was at the Hard Rock a couple years ago. I watched the kid before he was anybody. Broken jaw. He was in a car accident. I remember this kid. He was nothing. Nothing. Now he's calling himself Yeezus.
Oh, I haven't heard about this.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
explain to me and my listeners.
I don't know, Steve. But that, I can't
he just picked it out of
that.
Nowhere?
I just can't explain how these people's heads get so large. Is that what happens when you have sex with Kim Kardashian? You think you're somebody?
Your head gets the size
Brandy's
of her ass?
Brandy's brother, same thing. That's who made her famous. Brandy,
yeah.
The singer,
Ray J.
Made a sex tape with Kim Kardashian. Now she's making what?
Millions.
25, million. 30 million a year?
I heard she made 50, I don't know if this is true or not.
Off of the app.
The app. She made $50 million off the app.
I heard it was $100 million off
the
app.
Oh, God.
But that's
either one is wrong. Either one is wrong.
But can't we deport her? I mean, can't
we... Can't we send her back to Armenia?
Can't we send her somewhere? The same thing, like Justin Bieber's Canadian. Can't we get him out of here? I mean, can't we get rid of these people? They're not from here. They're weakening the country. Obama's not from here. Let's deport him. Let's get everybody out of here who doesn't belong here. Except the Mexicans, because we just let them all in. And it's legal. They can stay.
Did you really say Obama was not from here?
I'm not the first to say happened to that challenge Donald Trump made him where he said, give me a birth certificate and I'll donate $5 million? I never saw a birth certificate, did you?
I never saw it. I saw pictures of it on the internet.
With the whiteout.
Right. Oh, and we're going to sound like birthers here.
Right.
But
what? He's from, it says Kenya on his birth certificate. What? No, I'm
kidding. Oh, but there was the whole thing about and computer specialists are supposed to have said this, that type style was not around.
I've heard that.
Maybe heard also, all this stuff.
You know what
about
else
it?
I heard, though, that's hilarious? How do you get foreign aid when you're from the country?
Right. Because he got college. He got a, didn't he get college off
yes,
of foreign? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Like, who's running our country, really?
You know more about the Kardashians than you do about the president. I mean, seriously, you know more background, more facts, more than just...
I know about their parents. I don't know anything about Barack's parents.
You didn't read The Atrocity of Hope or whatever it was called?
I don't... please. Did Oprah write that? Who wrote that? Is Oprah Barack's mom? Is that... like, I don't understand the relationship there. What relation does she have to Obama?
She loves Obama.
No, they're related, though. They have
Are
to
they?
Be. They have to be, because she created this thing. Didn't she create the whole Obama thing?
Well, she did give him the big thumbs up, like,
oh,
you know,
ridiculous.
The Obama, Oprah Book Club of the Month kind of approval for Obama.
It's just, and I'm not bashing him, I'm just saying, it's ridiculous at this point. It's ridiculous.
We need real leadership again. Like real, and this is not to slam him. Yes, it is, sort of, in a way. I'll even slam the Congress. I'll even slam the GOP, which I lean toward the right. But I don't think we have real leadership anymore.
No.
Stuff like people that will say, no, we are not doing that. No, this stops right now. You know, remember the whole the buck stops here thing
right.
of past leaders. It's like, stop working to get reelected. Just go in there, fix shit, and leave if you have to.
Well, it's a shame there's a guy out of Florida, and I'm not going to say his last name because that'll disqualify him immediately, but his name is Jeb.
Yeah.
And he's that type of guy. He's that type of guy. There's another guy, Chris Christie. He's that type of guy. You know, the Bridgegate thing...
I've got no problem with that.
I know
it maybe held up traffic for a little bit, but that's almost a back east kind of New Yorker attitude of like,
I'm sorry.
We'll fuck with them a little
but
bit.
But when you're dealing with guys like Vladimir Putin,
yeah,
terrorists like ISIS, you want a guy who'll do something
yeah.
just a little bit questionable.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying everyone gets a prize type questionable. I'm saying, oh, there were 13 people, only 10? Oh, well, what's for breakfast? That's what I'm saying. When you have Guantanamo Bay and 20, 30 terrorists are missing and it just gets swept on, that's the kind of president I like. Waterboarding? I don't know that stuff goes on. That's what I'm talking about.
If you need to.
That's what we need to get back to.
Waterboarding, they don't die. I don't understand the problem with, it's like not like you're, you know, shooting fingers off.
Put ice on it, give him a Band-Aid and ice cream. It'll be all right.
Yeah. I'm looking for a president that doesn't want to set up a meeting. He wants to turn it into glass. Just turn the sand into glass. You know
and then
I mean?
Afterwards have a meeting on how we're going to rebuild
this city.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah. Like, I want us to start testing our military equipment in other countries on people who piss us off. You remember that atomic bomb, how that worked
out? Remember how it stopped the war like that?
Like that. We dropped something like that over there. You're going to see a lot of people going, woo! To... Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
How are you?
What are you going?
Do you know what?
JFK? LaGuardia? No, but that's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know if I want to get another cab that I get out and I smell like Iranian cologne. I don't know.
You eat sushi now, don't you?
Yeah,
Believe me, it'll be fine. Just give it a couple years.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for sitting down with me. We're at the end of this.
I'm not going to have a job after this.
I'm going to give this to you and let you edit it.
Yes, please. It'll be a 30-second podcast. Hi, Steve. Right. Hi, Phil.
Phil, tell everybody. You do have a website and a Twitter and all that
of your
own? I do. You
can go to 247comedy.com. There's plenty of ways to get in touch with me there. You can tweet me at Phil Izetta on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You can always call the hotline, 682-738-6694.
Oh, that's right. They can request.
Yeah, they can request comedy. They could request Steve McGrew.
Please.
They could call and say, hey, we want to hear that podcast that Steve McGrew does.
Again.
682-738-6694. Any time of the day they can call.
Good. And I do, I love your Twitter because not only are your tweets good, but you retweet the best of comics around. So your Twitter feed is always good.
If people like Andy Kindler, if they like Bill Burr, if they like Steve McGrew, Lewis Black, they'll like my Twitter feed because I'm always retweeting those guys.
Good. Beautiful. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for sitting down with me here.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming all the way up to the 27th floor.
This is beautiful, by the way. I can see the transvestites from here. What a view!
Joysticks for everybody!
That's troubling. Are we going to go see some comedy now?
Well, I've got to do a show right now.
Let's go.
See ya.